Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 37 of Season 7 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action flick, Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again is Heather Baxendale of Word of Hellmouth. Welcome back to the show, Heather.
Yippee-ki-yay! Thank you for having me back for a good time.
We do that at the end, not at the beginning.
I can do it. I can do it whenever I want, right?
That's true. That's true.
Excited. I was expressing my joy to be here.
Okay. Then if that's the case, then sir.
And breaking rules, as I often do.
That you always do. That's fine. I don't mind you breaking the rules. It's okay. The rules are meant to be broken.
Yeah. Thank you. I have such a hard time following them.
My rules? I don't have that many. Heather, you've been on enough episodes to know that
no, they're more rules like guidelines.
Okay, guidelines. There you go. That's true. All right. So minute 37 begins with Zeus finishing his request and ends with Zeus trying to reason with the transit cop. So we ended things yesterday with Zeus trying to be very nice, and he started saying to the businessman on the phone, saying, "Sir, please, I need to use," and he finishes today by saying, "that phone."
Yes. And he's still, at this point, he's exasperated too, but he's still being polite.
That's correct. Now, I have a question. Simon told them that they need to be at the payphones, okay? He didn't tell them which payphones. My assumption is that there are more than two payphones in this area. Okay.
Yeah.
That's my first assumption. And the second assumption is, you know, how does he know that it's not the one with the frayed cord? You know, anything's possible with Simon. Simon didn't say go to phone booth number 364 or whatever it is, you know, and that's where I'm going to call.
Yeah, he didn't specify. And at this time, too, this is the mid-90s. There would have been, like you said, there would have been a lot of phones out there, pay phones. I don't really know. Unless that's part of the game on top of it.
Try and figure out which of the phones which of the phone banks is the one that I'm talking about? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, maybe he's or I'm thinking of it from Simon's point of view and suggesting in my mind that there are other phones elsewhere that they aren't looking at, but that's the one that Sam's decided to invest Zeus is investing his time on. I don't know, honestly.
Right. No, it's just very strange to think about it, you know, that he basically tells them, okay, this is where I want you to go. And, but it's not, you know, they don't say specifically where, you know, which phone they should be going to.
No. And you would have, and each of those phones has a specific phone number, if I'm correct.
Of course.
It's not just to that subway station and you get one of those phones randomly. It's not one line. Correct. Each phone has its own phone number. So. So what if he was calling? You're right. What if he was calling?
So first of all, I went back in the subtitles to see what he actually said, what Simon says. And it actually makes a little more sense, you know, cause this is from minute 27. You know, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. So it says, Simon says, get to the payphone next to the news kiosk in the Wall Street station by 10:20.
Okay, so he was specific.
He was more specific than it's the one near the news kiosk, but he says the payphone, and
which means, you know, maybe he's the one who destroyed the other one.
Correct. So okay.
Yeah, that could have been him.
All right, so we got to give Jonathan Hensley a little more credit for doing this one right. You know, the writer got this one right by saying, okay, there's two phones there. One of them is frayed. When we say the payphone, okay, it makes sense. Oh yeah, I'll give him that one. You know, you can't even see the number
on
the phone.
You get a pass this time, writer.
There you go. Exactly. Now, after Zeus says this to the businessman, he actually says something very strange. He goes, "Hey, listen, bro. I was here first."
Yeah, that's not going to go over.
No, So I gotta tell you, I went and decided that I was gonna look up the term bro on the Urban Dictionary. Okay, now DJ, friend of the show, DJ Valentine, always tells me never go to the Urban Dictionary because you're just gonna get so many crazy stuff there. But sometimes that's part of the
Yeah.
fun of it. You know, trying to figure out, okay, what are they gonna
Fair.
say about bro? So first of all, there are 256 pages in the Urban Dictionary of the word bro, and each one has at least five.
I 100% believe
So it's
that.
true. So I decided to actually discuss some of them. I printed out probably like 10 pages of stuff from this, you know.
That's hilarious. And also, I can say that that term is overused and abused in this house. I can use bro three times in the same sentence, and it has different meaning in each way that I use it
Oh wow. Okay.
because everyone in my house uses it constantly. Like my 7-year-old calls me bro.
So now when we go through these, so some of them might relate to you, Heather. You never
Yes,
know.
I'm very curious.
And I think the first one actually does relate to you. Okay. All right. So the first one here is the teller of cool stories, the coolest storyteller. Does that
Oh,
fit
that's got
you?
to be me,
There you go.
right?
That's
Yeah,
right.
that's me for sure.
Okay, a brother or a close friend. All right.
I have
Okay.
those. My and my husband says that of my best friend that's actually female. He goes, "You guys are," he's like, "You guys aren't besties, you're bros."
Okay.
And we've agreed that we are bros.
All right, makes sense. Here's another one. What a chick calls you when she's not interested in you. Usually this happens when you're just about to ask her out.
I'm usually and have always been quite clear about those kinds of things, so I don't got a bro, but I can say that I've heard it used in that manner before, and I've probably used it myself. So far you're 3 for 3.
Okay. The dudes that you hang with constantly
Oh
or
yeah. I
consistently.
hang with dudes. Yeah, I mostly have dudes. I don't have as many female friends. That probably doesn't surprise anyone. I have way more dudes, and they are definitely bros.
Okay. Brohood is a special type of romance. It involves no sexual activities. A bro is a person who usually shares your gender, who you can trust with your life. This person can also be responsible for making sure your romances are working out and whatnot. She or he will give you their food and lend you their video games for free.
That is a long definition with weird added things, food and sharing video games. This is a very specific relationship. I don't feel like this is broad at all. I think
Okay.
somebody wrote down their relationship with somebody else and put
I think so
it
too. I think so too. All right. A bro
No,
is a
I get
person.
it. I get it.
Okay. A bro is a person that you respect, male or female. You drink beers with your bros. You watch games with your bros. You eat food with your bros. A bro can be a bro male or a female. And then it says you can have
Yeah.
sex with your bros. So I again,
Sure.
yeah, but it just, I don't know. That
Sure.
one
I mean, why not?
doesn't fit in as well, but
That one's no, that one's not as broad,
no.
or that one's a little bit more broad. That one has some more broad strokes
All right,
that I
here's
don't think are necessary to be in the definition.
no, not at all. Not at all. All right, here's another one. Bros are a type of white male between the ages of 16 and 24. They originated in Southern California during the early 2000s, but are now prevalent in most major cities throughout the US and Canada. They are characterized mainly by their frequent use of the word bro to describe other males who are actually unrelated to them, but can be noted by many other distinguishing features, such as a brightly colored Abercrombie and Fitch polo, often pink, worn with a collar pop, a live strong bracelet, a trucker hat worn either backwards or tilted to the side, a pair of Gino sunglasses, most likely purchased from Armani Exchange for $39.99 and often worn indoors or in non-sunny weather, being overly tanned to the point at which it is apparent they spent several days a week in the tanning salon, hair with too much gel in it, working out all the time and wearing overly tight shirts to make it look like they are more jacked than they actually are, frequent use of the words chill and sweet, liking Family Guy better than The Simpsons, listening to a combination of soft rock, the Red Hot Chili Peppers and some rap, ripped jeans for formal attire and track pants for informal attire, the excessive use of cologne and Axe body spray. I mean, this.
Okay. This is like a marriage of a California surfer dude and a Jersey Shore guy.
Yeah.
It's like if they had a baby, this is what it would be. This is not real. This is just made up crap.
That's right.
But it's really funny.
That's right.
It's so specific.
Here, you want
to. I think you mentioned like cologne or the smell like 3 times.
Yes.
That's what did it in for me. Oh, I'm crying. I'm laugh crying. My eyes are, I've got the tears. They're happening. That's pretty good. Bro.
Here, the penultimate male friend of a male, a dude who's chill, always looking out for the positive and likes to crack jokes to cheer everyone up. A friend who is selflessly willing to support you, whether it be a fight, emotional man talk, or footing the bill, a bud who you don't have to force conversation with and can just pop a squat down and have a good time.
Okay. Oh, it's like Barney Stinson a little bit. A nicer version of Barney Stinson. Yeah.
Okay, well,
from How I Met Your Mother.
That's right. You have the bro code from there.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Brother Shorten,
so funny.
The best friend in life you'll ever had. A bro is your brother, whether related or not. Bros are always there to help each other out. A bro sticks with you through the hardest times in life. Someone who you can just sit back, smoke some pot with, and chill out.
Well, I mean, that's also double as a dude. One of your dudes. Like a dude. Seriously? For sure. Again, it's a little specific. It was really great until like, so someone you could just sit and smoke pot with. I'm like, okay, now we're talking about a specific person.
I think all of these are pretty much talking about, you know.
Oh, these are really funny.
Yeah. Again, there's so much here. Here.
I love the internet.
That guy on the football team who loves the Dave Matthews Band and can and frequently proves that he can play the opening stanza of The General by Dispatch on the guitar. If he's lucky, he may have a Rasta friendship bracelet. What the hell?
Wow. Wow. You haven't gotten to any real negative connotations to it either, which I'm kind of surprised by because there's some that can be.
Right.
I've heard it used that way. It's what I think we are learning today is that it is a very flexible term.
Yes. Okay. Here's one that actually.
It's not as ambidextrous as an F-bomb, but no. I mean, it's pretty solid or as good as dude.
Right.
Dude's always the best.
Here. Someone who goes above and beyond for the benefit of a friend, expecting nothing in return. I think that is a great definition for this. I don't think that's what this businessman means. I don't think that's what he's saying.
No, because he's being insulting.
Because if he meant it, he would actually let Zeus use the phone.
Bingo. Yeah, he's being condescending is what he's being. But yeah, I think you're right. The most common term would be like someone who's close to you and is there for you regardless of gender, regardless of relation. And this is not that situation.
Exactly.
And you can tell from Zeus's face that he isn't having it at all.
All right, here, I got one more for you. I'm not going to go through the whole
thing. Also, covered in blood. How are you going to say something snarky to him?
That's true.
He's covered in blood. And even here, he's looking somewhat unassuming, but you can look at Samuel Jackson, and he is a big man. I would not piss him off.
That's right.
I would give him the damn phone.
All right, I actually found one that's a negative connotation that you were that you were looking for. All right, this is the final one. We won't go beyond this anymore. A bro is a guy who thinks he is way cooler than he really is. A bro can be seen in pics making a face or a pose where he's trying so hard to look like he's not trying. A bro will call all the other guys bro, even though no one likes the bro. For people unfamiliar with this term, realize it is not mainstream yet and originated from www.whitekidsfromtheburbs.com. Other people would refer to a bro as a douchebag. God. Bros are usually idiots, so a way to have fun with them is to call them bro every few words when you're talking to them and see how long it takes them to catch on. Look at that absolute bro with his stunning shades on inside and his white blazer. Doesn't he know he's at a friggin' house party and not a VIP at a bar? I don't know. So there you go. We found it a negative.
Yeah. I've definitely heard it used that way. often. And that's more like, bro, 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 bro. There is definite inflection that you put on for a bro like that. And douchebag is probably a better term, just like dude is in some of these scenarios. But again, it's an ambidextrous word. I like that we found and discovered today all the things that bro can do. And the next time I'm corrected by another adult when I use it, I'm going to bring this up.
Please do.
It will happen. I also, by the way, if my mother does listen to this podcast, which she won't, but if she does, I would like you to know, Mom, that you said I would never, ever use dude after like 1997. And I am 42 years old and I use dude all the time still. Dude forever. Just wanted to get that out there.
There you go. Right. And so Zeus gets very offended by this, obviously, and screams, bro.
Yes.
Like, why the hell are you calling me bro? That's what he's saying to himself. And then he goes, and he just loses it and screams, get away from the goddamn phone. And at this point, he actually sounds like Jules Winfrey.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Get away from that. And that's when you hear the heat
in his voice.
That's right.
And you do not mess with that voice. You do not mess with an angry Sam Jackson. It doesn't take too much to let you know that he's coming with some anger and he's going to do something about it. I don't want to find out. I'm going to be on my way.
And neither does this businessman. The businessman like slurks, slowly like lurks away, slides away.
That's because as the hound would say, he's a talker. He's a talker.
And at this point, Zeus is about to pick up the phone, and then we hear a shout from behind saying, put your hands up. And Zeus looks around, and he sees that the transit cop, who we noticed on Friday, saw Zeus jump over the turnstiles. And he actually has a gun trained on Zeus. So, I mean,
because he yelled at a man. Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
No, because he jumped the turnstile.
He yelled at a man. He jumped the turnstile. The point is, it's a minimal crime. It's not worthy of pulling a gun on.
That's correct.
It is not.
For sure.
It is not. This is not an appropriate response at all.
No,
this is
very, very excessive.
Police officers are trained to do.
Yes.
And he is a very young looking man who he's probably supposed to look like a rookie here. His hands are shaking.
Yes.
But I just keep looking. I'm going, I'm going to go knock that hat off your head, buddy. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you recognize this actor by any chance?
No. And I probably should, shouldn't I? I didn't look him up either. He doesn't look familiar to me, though. He just looks young.
His name is Scott Nicholson. He has 25 IMDb credits, but included in those 25 IMDb credits is, did you ever watch or do you watch Succession?
No, I haven't started it yet. Okay. DJ will have my head if I don't do soon.
Okay, I haven't watched it yet either, but he apparently plays a character named Colin in 36 episodes.
Oh, well, it sounds like he's important. And as I understand it, none of the people in that film are the likable sort, so he should fit right in.
Makes sense.
Wow. Okay, and that's been it. From then, is there anything else about this sir guy here?
No, nothing else.
Okay.
This is one of his first roles.
So, budding actors, stick with it. Look what happens. It's been, not quite 20 years later, but at least a good 15, and he finally had his break in his career. So, good for you, shaky hand man.
Well, with your, one of the child actors in this movie who plays Zeus's nephew is also someone who's very famous now.
Oh, who? I didn't.
You have Aldous Hodges. Aldous Hodge?
Really?
He plays Raymond.
He was on Leverage.
That's right.
Oh, my. I love Leverage. I love him. He is so wonderful. I didn't know he was one of the kids. He's at the beginning, right? When all come into a store.
He's at the beginning. He's in the school. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now, I just watched this like 2 days ago. I'm going to have to go back and watch it again. Just because I want to see.
Okay. You can rewatch it and tell us tomorrow if you how it was watching it again. You know.
I will, because I have to see. And my husband loves him too. So
there you go.
And I watched it without him. So I can watch it again. There you go.
Now you have a task, a mission for tonight. You know, before tomorrow's episode.
I do.
To rewatch it and say to your husband, I have to do this. This is homework. You know. And you have to watch it with me.
This is a good one. I think he actually likes this one more than I do. So he will not argue. Trust me.
Okay, good.
He'll be happy.
Good. Come on. Everyone knows what happens when you argue with Heather. So it's not worth it. You know.
No.
And, you know,
I am the big winner. Always in that scenario.
And so the cop is shaking and goes, put your hands up. And Zeus just looks at him and goes, I have to answer that phone. And he goes, just shut up and get him in the air. And I mean, we see that Zeus hangs up the phone as he's doing it slowly and then raises his hands. And as he's doing that, the phone starts to ring.
Yep.
So apparently he got to the right one.
Could it be worse timing? Yeah, it couldn't be worse timing.
Correct.
And that's one thing that I enjoy more about this one than I did about two. And I do prefer this movie over two, largely, as a matter of fact. I've only watched two so many times. This I've watched a lot. Not recently, until a couple days ago, but I've seen this one considerably more than two. It's because it is constant. The pacing is so constant. And the breaks aren't really breaks. They give you some in the tension and some in the buildup, but the characters are still always moving and doing something. There's always a constant moving forward. Yeah. Every time you feel like you're going to get some relief, like right here, we think, oh, he's going to be able to answer the phone now. We've gotten through this conflict, and now we have yet another obstacle in front of us. Meanwhile, McLean's out there still handling the actual bomb itself. So it just elevates tension, and we're still only like, what, a third of the way through the movie at this point, too?
Correct.
It's just great. It really
We're not even at a third of the way of the movie.
How? See, it's crazy.
Yeah. And then the scene changes, and we're back with McLean on the train, and he starts moving a little bit quicker as he's moving, and he goes, watch it, excuse me, pardon me, watch it, watch your back, watch it. And then he reaches a point where he just goes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a New York police officer. I'm going to ask you to calmly and quietly start moving towards the other end of the car. It's not something that's going to, you know, concern anyone that he says it that way, is it? Why would you get scared?
No, not at all. Why would you? Especially when he doesn't look like a cop and he's, you know, he looks like he's been through it, which he has already. Yes. But also, if they're looking down at all, they can see that he's holding this contraption.
That's right.
If I saw that, I would be climbing on the roof of that damn subway, and I would be trying to figure out how to get the heck off of it, or as far away from him as possible, one or the other.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there would be rampant chaos.
Especially since you've seen Die Hard with a Vengeance. So if you were to see someone walking through a subway car with something like this, and you see that, you know, the it's starting to mix, get out of there.
Yes. Well, or just TV or movies in general, which I've seen too much of, but it's really prepared me for life.
That's right.
Definitely. I'm always prepared for something to go wrong all the time.
Makes sense.
Movies and TV have taught me that things always go wrong. I'm ready. Whatever it may be, I'm ready.
All right. And as John is continuing to move through the car, you know, we hear like a click. And then we see that the mixture starts coming together. And John then goes, go now, please go now. And he goes, let's go. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. Go. And, you know, he's frantic at this point. He realizes that he's not in a good place.
No. And he's seen what one little bit does. I mean, at the very least, if it does blow up on him here, he's not going to actually feel anything. He's gonna be complete and utter mush if it explodes. I think it would be a relatively painless death, actually, now that I think about it.
I don't want to check it out.
Moment before.
I have no desire to
find it. Don't want to know. I'll pass. Yeah, that's not the job I would enjoy at all. In any way, shape, or form.
Correct.
I'd stay retired.
Very true. And then it goes back to Zeus, you know, near the phone. He's still standing there with his arms up, and the phone keeps ringing. And he says, "I have to answer that phone." And the cop you can see he's very, very nervous. And the only explanation I can have for that he's being nervous is because he's a rookie cop. You know, he doesn't know what to do at this point. And he just goes, "Gallop." And then Zeus actually tries to reason with him. And he goes, "Look, if..." And then he gets cut off.
Yep.
So...
Which, it's a smart thing to do because the kid, and he is, it's like you said, he's just a rookie cop doing a dumb thing because he's scared. And when people are scared, that's when they make mistakes or do things that they wouldn't normally do. It's good to acknowledge your emotions, but to be driven by them is dangerous. And that's what makes this scene here. So between the two of them, while it's paralleled with McClane over there also with the bomb in his hand, is because... either of them can fail for it to blow up, or either of them can be the one who saves the day too.
Sure.
So you have these other conflicts coming in with McClane trying to get rid of the bomb, and you have him trying to deal with the person who's being emotional and irrational. So how do you appeal to that? Use some rationality and use a calm, authoritative voice. And that's, you know, that's what Zeus does here. I love his name in this too. It's so fun.
Yes. And that's all I have for this minute.
I don't know why that just occurred to me now, but it did.
That's perfectly okay. So, Heather, you have anything else for this minute?
No, I think it's it. But this is definitely, for me, one of the more fun sequences in the movie. It's definitely tense.
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk more about it next week, but you'd think that there would be more damage than what they show here. But, you know, because, you know, we keep talking about the fact of, you know, the amount on a paperclip, what that does. And... you know, but we'll get there. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves. I mean, I know you won't be here with me next week to talk about it, but still, you know, I just wanted to point that out that, you know, there's that. That's one of my problems with this. But I sort of understand why they did it at the time.
Because the impending doom feels like it's surmountable. Yeah. The way it was advertised, you would expect it would be
that's
different.
Right. And I mean, and part of the thing is, I mean, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Actually during the first week when Jay was on, and you know, in the script they actually have they have people inside of the department store talking and noticing, you know, a briefcase before it explodes. So there in the script you get to you know, I guess visually see people actually getting injured from the bomb, you know, but they took all that out. Keep it far away from there. And I mean, it's ironic because this movie came out a few weeks after the Oklahoma City bombing, and they were debating whether to hold
it. Did it really?
They were debating whether to hold it or not. And in the end, they decided to let it out.
Yeah, that's well, I mean, it ended up doing just fine, but yeah, that would have definitely been something to consider. Yeah. Holy crap.
All right.
I don't remember that at all. I know that I didn't see it in the theater. I can tell you that.
That I know I did. Okay, so I'm actually going to back up a little bit in the script because, you know, I mentioned part of it yesterday, but, you know, where Zeus basically says, "Sir, I need that phone." And the businessman's response is the only lines that he has in the script is "drop dead," as opposed to, you know, him saying here, "Listen, bro, I was here first." You know, I think that works a little better than "drop dead." That's a little too curt, you know, and to the point. "Drop dead." And then it says, Zeus pulls out his gun and points it at the businessman. "Get away from the phone." The businessman looks at Zeus and, alarmed, begins to back away from the phone. We hear the click of a revolver behind Zeus, and then... "Drop the gun and get your hands up." Zeus freezes, drops the gun. The transit cop stands 10 paces away, revolver cocked. Commuters on the platform run for cover. A woman screams. Zeus looks at the transit cop, looks at the phone, and the phone begins to ring. Zeus slowly raises his hands. The transit cop grabs him by the collar, spinning him around, pushing his face first against the wall. The phone rings again. Look, I have to answer that. Shut up. The phone rings for the third time, and just then, emanating from the subway tunnel, we hear the rumble of the train coming into the station. Zeus stares at his phone, panicking, and it rings for the fourth time. The cop spreads Zeus's legs and begins to pat him down. Then it moves to the subway train. McClane is moving through the last car with the bomb, screaming at passengers, "There's a bomb! Move! Get out of here!" The passengers, panicking and hollering, scramble through the door into their front cars. McClane gets to the back door of the last car. He looks out the window. The train tracks fall away from the moving train. And that's how that ends also. So, again, I like it better in the movie, though.
I do, too. I think there's more. It works better as far as building tension, too. Especially with Sam not having the gun. Right. It makes both of them. Neither of them are really bad guys in the situation, even though they're both doing the wrong thing and they're both trying to do it for the right reason. And I think that's what makes that standoff interesting between the two of them. So if you give Zeus the gun, you take that away from that scenario.
It's very true. And so it works. I like the way they do it.
I do too.
All right. So every Tuesday we have a segment called Trilogy Tuesday, where my guests will give their top five movies, movie trilogies. So, Heather, why don't you once again start with your number five and work your way up?
I don't know that five and four would stay the same. I think there will be others that would rotate in and out, but the bottom three are always the same. And they are, I think, always in this order. Number one always is, but you already know what number one is.
No, I don't.
I'm a foregone conclusion. I accept it. Number five, I went with Die Hard. It's a pretty solid trilogy. There's a lot of movies that I like more. Like, I would have put Terminator here, but I hate Rise of the Machines so much that I can't include it. So I look at it as more of a duology and pick up at Salvation. But there's a lot like that where I really hate one of the movies in the trilogy. Like Godfather's another one. I hate the third one. I can't watch it. So to me, it's another duality.
Okay.
So anyway, that's where I'm coming with this. So number five is Die Hard. It's a solid trilogy. It's a ton of fun. It's great. Number four, Toy Story. The first three are wonderful. I enjoyed the fourth too, but the first three are just magical, wonderful. And the fact that I have a kids trilogy on here says all that needs to be said. Three, Star Wars. And we're talking the OG trilogy. Yeah, we're talking the OG. And then two, Indiana Jones. Absolutely Indiana Jones. And number one, can you take a guess what my number one is? Because it's the only answer.
Is it I was gonna say, is it about like 10 hours long?
It is, and it is the correct answer. There is no other answer that you can give for that that is correct. And I will argue to the end of the moon on that.
I'm actually surprised that you don't.
That's the hill I'll die.
Okay, I'm actually a little surprised that you don't have Back to the Future on your list. I would think that you would.
It's another one where I would have to interchange it with Toy Story or Die Hard, and I couldn't make that negotiation.
Okay.
I just couldn't. Which I might on another day. And I am aware of my fickleness.
Okay. That is fair. That is fair. I mean, you're going to have to wait a long time to find out what mine are. But,
you know. You know what, too? You know what's interesting, too, about that, though, is Die Hard's or Back to the Future is one of those movies that I watched so, so much as a child. And I mean so much. I think like a lot of people in our age bubble. But as I've gotten older, I watch it less and less and less and less.
See,
less.
I don't. I
haven't
keep,
watched
I keep
two or three
it.
In so long. I can't recall. And yeah, and I do with a lot of movies. So I think that's really strange. And I'm curious as to why. I have no compulsion.
Because we've passed 2015 and there aren't any flying cars. And we're like, okay, so this movie doesn't make any sense.
Maybe it just makes me sad.
Okay.
Because we're definitely going more in the direction of Terminator.
I think so.
I don't want that.
There is something scary about that fact. Yes.
Oh, there is. Yes, there is. As much as I love the idea of being Sarah Connor, I don't want to be Sarah Connor.
That is fair. I don't want to be Sarah Connor either, but I don't want you to be Sarah Connor. You know. I don't want there to be a need for a Sarah Connor. How's that? I think that's what it comes down.
There we go. That is the correct sentence. That's the correct sentence. Yes, right there.
I mean, a need for a fun T800? Okay. I don't have a problem with that. But, you know. All right.
There's plenty of cool robots out there right now. They're just cool for now. Yeah. We'll see. They're fun for now.
Before they decide to try and take over the world. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. So, Heather, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Heather Baxendale?
You can find me at heatherbaxendale.com. That's where I find myself, too. You can find all of my podcasting stuff, my books, and voice acting stuff I do, and just other nerdy things I have. It's all in one place now. I'm somewhat organized. Thank you.
All right. And finding me is very simple. You can find me on my website, MovieRobMinute.com. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. Or if you want, you can shoot me an email to MovieRobMinute@MovieRob.net. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay! I did it at the right time.
Marching home again. Hoorah! Hoorah! We'll give him a hearty welcome then. Hoorah! Hoorah! The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.